is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino. Welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with Reno City Councilwoman Naomi Dewar about sideshows and what the city is trying to do about them. A number of ideas are being proposed and discussed, and we sat down with Dewar to find out what we can look forward to in the future when it comes to sideshows in the biggest little city. You went out with the patrol with that street team, and I heard Raven, so some people got caught, right? Tell me, break it down, describe for me what you went out and saw.
Yeah, it was incredible. I got to do a ride along with our commander, and we were all over South Reno from one end to the other. They had had some idea that sideshows would be happening this weekend, which is why I went. And it was very impressive. I think the one thing that stood out to me the most was that they were able to use their knowledge and experience to prevent sideshows from actually occurring. In other words, preventive. And a lot of people don't give people credit. I mean, they only think about, well, they broke it up and they arrested so many people. But what I'm impressed with is that it didn't happen. It just didn't happen the way it has been happening.
They got together basically in the group to get the activity going, and then you guys showed up in the nick of time kind of a thing?
Right. They 100% showed up. You know, they showed up in our community to do sideshows, and what they usually do is set up and then run to the next place and run to the next place. And usually there'll be anywhere from 5 to 8, maybe more, different sideshow events. In this case, our police were able to get there either right when they got there or before them and prevent the sideshows from getting set up in the first place.
I read there was a child. One of the charges was child endangerment. So somebody brought their kid to this thing?
They must have. You know, I read the same stuff. After the fact, they made sure to summarize all of the enforcement efforts. And please be aware that this is not just a Reno thing. As you mentioned, this was the Raven helicopter with the sheriff. This was the Nevada State Police. And there was even a participant from Sparks. And, I mean, the numbers are impressive. Even without a sideshow setting up, they had 33 traffic stops, 17 citations, 4 arrests for reckless driving, 1 arrest for child endangerment, to your point. 1 arrest, failure to yield to an emergency vehicle, 2 arrests for DUI, 5 vehicles towed. So there still was a lot of activity on our roads. It's just that it didn't escalate to the point of being a sideshow because of the great preemptive work that our local law enforcement did.
I think that's really huge that you got involved with this, and then they've got such an organized detail to get out there and just know exactly where to go. And that's the joy, I think, about Reno is we are the biggest little city, so you could get from one end to the other in about 10 minutes. So it's not like you have a whole lot of places to hide here, right? Reno City Council, Naomi Dewar.
Well, that is true. And you know, I just gave you the numbers for day one. They came back on day 2, and there were another 42 traffic stops, 29 citations, another arrest for DUI. So working together, I really think, is the answer. That is why I've encouraged, as staffing allows, us to form a special team, much like they've done in Las Vegas. They call their team the RAID team, R-A-I-D. And it's about you know, regional enforcement on these street racing and sideshow activity. And another thing I learned, and I didn't realize it, but I suspected it, but I confirmed it, and that is that the very first one that I got involved with, which was in the spring at Reno Town Mall, was our first official sideshow in Reno. It's not that, yes, we've had decades of street racing. Yes, we have a car culture. And I also know kids will be kids, and sometimes it goes beyond that. But these sideshows are a different animal entirely, and they really only established this spring. And the very first one was the one I was first involved with in my ward at Reno Town Mall. And so I feel good that from the very beginning, you know, we figured it out. We as a community figured it out. And through the summer, we've upped our game to the point that now we're being able to prevent it. That hasn't been done in any city that I am aware of. No city. So I'm very, very proud of our law enforcement.
And we're talking today with Reno City Council's Naomi Dewar about the sideshow activity. We've been seeing people coming up from the Bay Area, Sacramento, Stockton, all over the place, even from Oregon, right?
Correct. My understanding is that they travel. There's a circuit, as you mentioned, San Francisco, Sacramento, Stockton, Reno, up to Oregon, and you know, it ends up on a every 2 or 3 week cycle. But what we're trying to say here in Reno, Nevada and Sparks and our region as a whole is not in our town, not in our community. We are not going to tolerate this. Our law enforcement, our mayors have taken a zero tolerance policy. I'm right there with them. And we are trying to do something that has not worked in other cities, and that is to prevent these sideshows from occurring. And why is this important? It's important because it goes far beyond a demonstration of car skill and doing donuts or tricks. It really ends up with people getting hurt. We've seen, a young woman get hurt at the McCarran and Lakeside. We've seen spectators fleeing and getting car accidents end up in the hospital. We have seen fireworks lit off, and the problem there is that there's a lot of flammable materials around, whether it be a house or a business. We have seen, even shots fired. We are not willing to accept this takeover of Reno and Sparks, Nevada. It's just not happening. And I just can't commend our police enough for changing their tactics, for approaching it in a different way.
And you talked about putting together this task force. How do we reach out to you if we want to be part of this? We can, as citizens and volunteers, help out with this task force that you're trying to form, right?
Well, there's a couple things that people can do. And the very first, number one thing is to not go and spectate. I mean, in order to feel successful, people engaging in this activity have to have a lot of spectators. I mean, they're not just there for themselves. They want to put on a show. So spectating is illegal. If the spectators are young, I advise parents to encourage their children to stay away. I encourage parents to stay away. If you do get caught up in one, I encourage you to back out of there. That is the advice from our dispatch. That's the advice from all our emergency services, is to leave the scene. It is too dangerous to get caught up in one of these, because the people I've spoken to that get caught up, they get their cars damaged, spray painted, banged in with hard tools, whether it's a bat or a tire iron. They end up with thousands of dollars of damage. Do not attempt to get in the middle of one of these sideshows. Do not back away. Often, what do they say? That restraint is the better part of valor. You need to back away. You need to not get involved. And then finally, with the team is really something that law enforcement has to decide that they want to formally set up. And then the last piece that I think that people can get involved in is we do expect to go to the legislature this session and to ask for improved penalties, increased impound times for these vehicles, basically throwing the book at these folks, because this is not just a burglary or a car being broken into or a car being stolen, which are all horrifying to the people when that happens to them. This is a much larger event. It involves many more people, the potential for many more people to get hurt. It occurs in a serial manner throughout our town. When they're in Reno, they go to Sparks. When they're in Sparks, they come to Reno. I mean, they don't care what town boundary they're in. And so that is the thing that I think the average person could do, is to support the effort at the legislative level. You can write a letter, you can testify, you can contact your legislator and tell them you are unwilling to have this activity continue, and they need to help us, meaning the legislators need to help us do a better job, have better rules on the books, better laws, so that we can, in fact, enforce against this successfully.
Naomi Dewar, thank you so much. What's the takeaway that we're leaving everyone with?
Formalizing a task force will really be up to law enforcement if they feel like that's something that they want to do. But I know it is something that other cities have done, so I'm really leaving that to them to make those calls. But in practical effect, practical effect, that is what we are doing. Thank you so much, Daniela, for your interest in this. I love our town. I love our people. I love doing everything I can, pulling out every stop to help people have a better quality of life and experience in Reno, Nevada, and our entire region.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino, and welcome to Nevada Outlook. Today we're talking with conductor Dr. Mac McGranahan with the Reno Wind Symphony about their patriotic concert that they're performing at UNR later this afternoon.
Yeah, it's called a Veterans Day Salute.
Okay.
And what we're going to be doing is playing, all of our music will be geared to like the military and patriotic type music and stuff like that. We're doing several Sousa marches in the program, but I wanted to talk about the big piece we're doing. The biggest piece we're doing is called Lonely Beach, Normandy, 1944. It's D-Day, the D-Day invasion. Now, the thing that's going to make it so special is, first of all, for music, we have the Bella Voce Women's Community Choir from Reno. They're going to sing with us on this piece, and it's really, really spectacular. They're doing a great job. Jennifer Tibben is the conductor of that group, and we're doing that. But more importantly, when we start the piece and throughout, the hall is going to be completely dark because we're going to be showing slides of a video presentation, which is going to show slides from the black and white slides from the Normandy invasion. And it's going to show the way Normandy looks nowadays. And at the very end, you'll see the Normandy with all the gravestones and everything, or all the gravestones in Arlington National Cemetery. It's very emotional. And on top of that, it was commissioned by the United States Army Band in Washington, D.C. So it has a very special place. We've done it four times since we've been a band, and we haven't done it for some time now, like 8 years, I think, was the last time we did it. And it's going to be pretty spectacular. It's going to be in Nightingale Hall on the University of Nevada campus. It's going to start at 3 o'clock. The doors will open at 2:30. Program, we're going to take an intermission and everything. It's going to be almost 2 hours, maybe 90 minutes to 2 hours.
We're talking today with Dr. Mac McGranahan with the Reno Wind Symphony about their patriotic concert they're performing at UNR later this afternoon.
It's for me, it's very special because I just get really excited. We've been a band since 2006, and we started doing this Veterans Day salute on November of 2006. So we've done it every year that we've been a band. And, you know, there's some things. There's a very traditional part of the program. Speaking of, I didn't tell you this, but to get in, veterans and active military will be admitted free. At the very end of our program, after we go through all the things that we're going to do, then we have what I call a very traditional part of our program, which is the last two tunes that we do. And we first start with the Armed Forces Salute, or Armed Forces on Parade, the piece is called, where we identify all the five major branches of our service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard. And then we ask, before we play it, we say, if you are active or retired military, or your family of military, please stand when your service song is being heard. So, and we have our announcer tell them, you know, okay, first of all, this is the Air Force, you know, and it goes like that. So anyway, we do that, and we get done with that, and then we tell them it was a pleasure to play for them today and everything, and then we want to end our program with our national march, the Stars and Stripes Forever, which was this is one of the good things that Congress did. They made it they did this, and it was okayed. It was voted by Congress to be our national march in 1987. So anyway, that's what I like about the piece. We do a little thing about how Sousa wrote the piece and go from there. But it's really, you know, we talk about he was over in Europe and found out his band manager had died, and so he was coming back home, and he was on this steamer trying to get back to the United States, and he started hearing this band, his brain band playing a march, and he wrote it on the ship, but he didn't put it on paper until he got back to shore in the United States. So that was kind of cool the way it happens. And we tell them that story, too. That did happen that way. He had this constantly going through his brain, and then he put it down on paper when he got back to shore in his hotel room. And it was premiered on Christmas Day, 1882, I think it was. So, yeah.
Mac, talk about seeing all those folks come out for the veterans when you guys do this this presentation. It's overwhelming to, I imagine for them as well, to be honored in such a way and to be able to honor people that paid, you know, the price and went and fought for our freedoms, right?
That's correct. Well, you just said it all. I don't need to say. That's what I like about doing this. You know, we are saluting our veterans on the Veterans Day weekend, or as close to Veterans Day as we can get. Anyway, that's why we do those two pieces last. You know, like I said, we're doing some Sousa marches. One of the Sousa marches we're doing, we're also doing a large-scale work for band, which is based on this one Sousa march. So we're going to play the march first, and then we're going to play this other thing after it, which is based on the same march. So that's kind of cool. And let's see, we're also doing a very lush ballad called Arlington, and then where giants lie sleeping. And it's a salute to those veterans that are buried in Arlington National Cemetery. So, and in that, when you hear it played, you will hear God of Our Fathers played at the end, which is our national hymn. And what else? You'll hear some marches and stuff throughout. But that's pretty much it.
Talking today with Mac McGranahan. He's with the Reno Wind Symphony. And we just spent some time talking about the very cool production going on for Veterans Day. Prior to it, it'll be today. So, Mac McGranahan, thank you so much for talking to me about the performance coming up later today for the Reno Wind Symphony. We want to invite everybody out. Tell everybody to come on out later this afternoon and watch the show.
Please come out. We take a lot of pride in putting on this concert. You know, it's something we traditionally do and we love doing. And many of the members, in fact, some of the members in the band are military. Retired military. We have one guy in the band, you know, it's our first trumpet player. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Guard here in Reno. And, you know, we have them stand up when their service tune is heard in the Veterans Day or in the Armed Forces salute that we do in that. And some of the guys on stage will be in uniform. So, we're, you know, we dress formally, like black and white, tuxedo and stuff. But anybody that's military, if they have their uniform, we have them wear it to recognize and, you know, be proud of it. And they are, you know. So, but it's going to be a great show, I think. It's going to be, you know, like this Lonely Beach and this other thing. Well, the ballad we're doing is Arlington, where giants lie sleeping. So anyway, after there's like it's Arlington, and then where giants lie sleeping.
We want everybody to get out and watch this show. Thank you so much for this conversation. If you haven't ever seen the Reno Wind Symphony, it's definitely a treasure here in the biggest little city, and you got to go check them out. Mac, thank you so much for this conversation today. I appreciate
it. You betcha, Daniela. Thank you.
Once again, if you want to go see the show, it's at 3 p.m. this afternoon in Nightingale Hall on the UNR campus. You can find tickets at renowindsymphony.com. You can also buy them at the door. And keep in mind that there's free admission for veterans and active military. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.